Hello, Queens Club. Let me get you guys rocking and rolling in here. I just got off with some of the mentors. I started with a Facebook Live today. Then I did noon coaching with the tribe. Then I did the mentors. And now I got you guys. I am just like coaching machine today. I feel like a coaching machine. And I'm working on some new content and some new research, which is awesome. And I also did a lot of more studying of all things urges and buffering. So I feel like I have been the life coach with the most today. All right. So here's how we're doing Queens Club now. It's open coaching. I don't make you guys sign up anymore. It's just office hours with me. Your guys are the only ones who get office hours where no appointments needed. So if you would like coaching, you just have to raise your hand. And if no one ends up wanting coaching, we just get out of here early. So you want to take one for the team and jump on. Now it's time to raise your hands. Nobody's got their hands raised. Let me tell you. What was I going to say? Oh, here comes somebody. Well, I'll tell you later. All right. Here's Christy Stewart. And Betsy, as we are doing this, will you remind people in the chat that if they want to get coached to raise their hand? Well, hello, Sunshine. I have not seen you in a long time.
I know. I've been here. It's just hard to get on with you.
Not in Queens Club, because you're the only one coaching tonight. I'm so unwanted in the Queens Club.
Stop it. Yeah, right.
So what do you want coaching on?
I wasn't planning on doing this, so I look a hot wreck, but who gives a shit, right?
The only reason why I have a shower is because today I had the Facebook Live this morning. It's my one public live I do a month. And I almost didn't dress up, but I was going to do it outside and we had thunderstorms and lightning and I was going to be sitting by a pool. I was like, it might not be the best idea.
No. I'm inside. Yeah, we need you alive, not fried. Okay.
Yeah, I only do it outside if I can wear my sunglasses so I can look all like, you know, badass. So, well, what do you want coaching on?
Okay, so I had a storm meet this morning and I was doing a lot of processing of it and I came across something very interesting that I was not expecting. So I've been working a lot on my thoughts around work with Kathy and some with Betsy, and I've been doing pretty good. Last night, I was in a horrible mood at work. Like I just woke up in one and all that kind of stuff. I was tired. I had a headache. You know, I mean, I just wasn't in a great mood. And I realized that there is a lot of like weird guilt there. And like I should always be in a good mood, not from like, so that I can be happy all the time, but from this place of being in a bad mood or not being in a happy mood puts a burden on other people. Like I'm okay with not being happy all the time in that, you know, I'm fine with the 50-50 part of life and stuff like that. So that's not where it's coming from. It's coming from this weird place of feeling guilty.
Oh my God. Is this just guilt day? I just got off with the mentors and coached on fucking guilt. It's like everybody wants to talk about guilt today.
And it's so weird because I don't usually have problems with that. Like it was very shocking when it hit me. Like,
so you're in a bad mood. You're in a bad mood and you think your mood creates other people's feelings, that you've transcended the model.
I know, right? Yeah. I'm still doing my job and I'm still doing it like a badass. Like I don't let, because one time my boss told me, she's like, you know what? You complain a lot, but you still do your damn job while you're complaining. So you can complain all day long. And I was just like, I mean, that like shocked me because I was apologizing to her. You know, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I complain all the time. I need to work on my attitude. I am working on it, you know. But yeah, it's that transcending, like I can make people feel a certain way.
Make anyone feel a certain way, but you can completely take ownership that if you act like an asshole, that you don't like how you show up for others. Yeah. There's a difference between being disappointed in yourself and how you show up and feeling guilty that you burden other people is such a waste of time. Because that model at Action Line is never going to work for you. So like when you feel guilty, like I burden other people, you feel guilty, what is your action other than eat this morning?
I mean, usually it's just, it just adds to more spinning out.
So your actions become what?
More like more bad thoughts, like more
like judgment of self type things.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then your result becomes I burden myself even more. Like I burden me now. So like where you think you're like when you put the thing on, like I must be burdening other people and feel guilty and from guilt. And then I spiral out on myself. Now I'm burdening myself. That's a model that just sucks. Now let's take it over to a model that doesn't suck, but doesn't feel good either.
Okay. Yeah.
I expect more out of myself. I don't tolerate this behavior in me. This is not how Christy Stewart rolls.
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel?
I mean, disappointing, but
yeah.
Yeah. It's not as
when you're disappointed, when you think you're not showing up how you want, how do you, what is your actions there?
To try, well, I want to say try better, if that makes any sense, but to try to work on it.
Yeah, you examine your behavior. There's a different, where in the other one, you're like beating yourself up, and in this one, you're examining your behavior.
Yeah.
And guess what happens in the result line?
Better behavior.
Well, you find the shit you don't. Well, you find the shit you don't tolerate anymore.
Yeah.
You require more of yourself. In the other one, you're burdening yourself, and in this one, you're requiring more of yourself. We just got through doing some, this is going to release later in the year. I've got some new content that I'm working on around feelings. But one of them is feelings like disappointment and stuff always serve a purpose. Even guilt and stuff. They always are telling us something about ourselves. So like guilt is a red flag to be asking yourself, why am I choosing guilt in this moment? Am I, what, I'm making this mean something about me. Is this serving me or not? Like that is where you can pause. At guilt, you can pause the model. And you can go back and ask. And it's like, oh, I'm feeling guilty because I think I'm burdening other people. But what's really happened is I'm actually disappointed in myself. I'm coming to work like an asshole and yelling at people. I don't like that about me.
Yeah. And you know what I just realized? It's because I have these thoughts that, like, I get frustrated with some of the patients who are, I mean, sometimes it's attention seeking behavior and things like that. And I just have what I consider horrible thoughts about, you know what I mean?
Like, you have manuals for the patients. They should be behaving a certain way so you can feel good on the job.
Yeah.
It's like, you want to feel good on the job?
Just
know that. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. And it's like, that's just showing you, it's like, okay, so when I'm feeling guilty for throwing shade at our patients, in my brain,
say anything.
No, but in your brain,
in my brain,
it's a shade shitstorm.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you're not saying it to them, but everybody else is the collateral damage of your pissy mood, right?
Yeah.
Like complaining.
Yeah.
You don't even like that behavior in you, but your boss is even excusing it. And it's like, no, we're just not excusing it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The reason why you know you have a manual for how these patients should act is because in your brain, they're creating your feelings.
Yeah.
Instead of, no, it's my shitty thoughts creating my feelings that I think they should act better. They are attention seeking. That's what's creating my feelings. Now, if you want to hang on to it, you can. But just own.
Yeah.
That's what I want to hang on to. And if you don't, then it's just like, they're patient. This is part of my job.
Yeah. And logically, like, I know that, like, I'm at least to that point where I can logically be like, okay, this is not, you know, they don't have the control here. It's your thoughts that I just, it's getting to that next step of being able to put it into real world action, I guess, for lack of a better
term. It's a lot of like thinking carefully about your thought line. What do you want it to be? And do you want it to be they are attention seeking? Or do you want it to be like, what kind of patients are these? What are they there for?
Oh my God. Psychiatric. So like, I know, right?
Like, your thought should just be like, of course they're attention seeking. They're here. They're not emotionally stable. They're not in PNP.
Yeah, exactly. Right. They need PNP so bad.
They just need PNP in their life, and they wouldn't be in the psychiatric ward.
I mean, seriously, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, if you just had Corinne, honey, you'd be so, you'd be great.
Here's the thing, they had you. They had you.
Yeah.
They don't need Corinne and PNP. They've got Christy Stewart. Why are you not thinking that?
Well, some of it is just time constraints because it's the job that I'm in is for assessment only. So it's inappropriate to do any type of therapy in that.
You don't have to do therapy. Here's what they have. You doing an assessment in a way that doesn't judge them.
Oh, fuck my God. Son of a bitch.
Like, you ain't got to, like, do a podcast for them. But I'm pretty sure you can do an intake form without judgment.
Oh, my God. Shit. Yes. You're so
I'm not terrible. I'm just
You're amazing. No, you're fucking amazing.
Oh, I just, like, speaking the words. Speaking the words.
But that's why we pay you. That's why we give you our money.
Yeah. I can, like, be like, you know, you could take an intake without judgment.
It's like Kathy told me the other day. She's like, you can be judgy and still be happy. And I mean, I fucking died laughing. And I literally giggled at my desk later that night. I'm like,
I know, because Kathy's one of the judgiest people I know. And look how happy she is all the time. Let me ask you this. Why did you eat this morning? Nobody
Why did I eat?
Hand raise. If anybody's going to get coached, you better get your hand up. Otherwise, I'm going to talk to her for an hour.
Oh, that would be totally fine with me.
We're just going to fix your whole life. All right. No. Three hands came up. We got to wrap up.
They're listening to me. They're like, I'm not listening to Chris.
Now tell me why you overate this morning. I'll let you have that one since they were slow to the crawl.
I mean, because I chose to, because I couldn't sit with the discomfort, you know.
But what did you have?
So, okay. I wrote it down. So I had my planned dinner, but I had gone to the store to get normal stuff and I bought some chocolate. And
why did you buy chocolate?
That was an impulse buy. And it was because I just didn't want to sit with the discomfort.
So you went to the store, you bought chocolate last night, and you ate it this morning?
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry. It was my last night, which was this morning because I work overnight.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm clear.
Yeah. I think relief from the wound up that I was.
You've watched the urges and buffering thing, right?
Yes. Right. And I'm going to go back and watch it again because it was so mind blowing. I couldn't absorb.
Here's the piece that I want you to really take a piece from.
Okay.
You've decided that you eat for relief. That is not why you're eating. That is going to be a thought that's never going to serve you about your overeats. Like when I ask you why you overate, it should just always be, it was because it was a choice. Like you can have a shitty day and you can do all those things, but it's just like I really want you to hear that analogy that we have of if you were ever a smoker, you didn't start smoking because you wanted relief from high school. You started smoking because someone said, hey, you want to smoke? You smoked it, you got a buzz, and you just kept doing that. And then at some point, you became someone who smoked when you were also stressed. You have at some point became someone who eats. Okay. And then sometimes it's because you're stressed. Otherwise, if every single time you were stressed and every time you needed relief, you would eat every single time. That's how we know you're not doing it because of that. You would never be able to say no.
Okay.
It's literally the urge. I just want you to be like, the only reason why I ever overeat is because of an urge. That allows you to separate out like why you wanted relief and all this other kind of stuff. Okay.
Okay.
It just lets you take ownership of it.
Well, it takes so much out of the equation. Like it's not near as
complicated,
overwhelmingly discombobulating when you're, you know, I mean, it's just, okay, it was a choice. There was an urge and then.
Yes. And here's the other thing that it allows you to do. Is that when you are looking at it, when you go back to it, you can look up the preceding events to be like, oh, I noticed that sometimes when I have bad days and I come home really tired, I know that I typically my brain is going to send up all the thoughts and all of the stuff, but that's not why I'm eating. I'm eating because I'm not dismissing them. I'm eating because I'm responding. Now, it doesn't mean to say all that won't happen, but when you separate those two out, what ends up happening is that you start noticing when you're doing behaviors, like buying chocolate and stuff, like, oh, that's going to set up an urge. It just starts changing the game some.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And it makes the game easier to play. Like, it takes, you know, it's like, it's so simple. Like, the rules get so simple when you look at it that way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not because of your, because the problem is like, if it's because of your past, you got to change your past. If it's because of a shitty day at work, you can never have a shitty day at work. I mean, it's like, it just
clicked. And I was just thinking that too, now that you say that. I remember thinking, okay, you've got to get this shit under control because we can't have days like this. It's like, no, that, yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah, it just makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want you to be in that space. And I want you to like, think about when you have urges to overeat, what are the things that you're telling yourself? Like, you're telling yourself things like, I need relief. Like, these are the things I tell myself. Be very aware of the things you tell yourself that get you there. Because the moment those thoughts start, your brain will start sending up dopamine and anxiety to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're already tired, then your reasoning skills are dropping at the same time.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Ooh, that makes so much sense. Okay. I feel better.
Good.
Always when I talk to you, that's for sure.
So from now on, we're going to go to work and we're going to be non-judgmental in our intake forms. If we didn't learn anything, we learned that.
Okay.
All right, lady. Have a good one.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Oh my God, my cat is so miserable. She's over there just whining. Trish, you're next. Come on in, baby girl. No, no. I'm just pissing the girl. Hey.
Okay. Hello.
How can I help you?
My heart is beating out of my chest.
Give it 90 seconds. It'll all be fine.
I'm doing very well. I joined in January. I've lost 36 pounds. I have everything down pat, except when I get sick and I stay home from work and then I get bored and then I eat.
Just go to work sick.
This week it was diverticulitis and I was in a lot of pain. I couldn't go to work.
So why did you eat when you had, is diverticulitis like when you have the shits?
Well, it's a lot of abdominal pain. I didn't have the shits. I was actually constipated. So,
you're just going to put some more food in there.
I know.
I don't remedy that.
I know. But the first 3 days, I was really sick. And then the next day, I was feeling better. And then yesterday, I was feeling better. But that's when I started to eat. I think it's more that I was bored.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out a way to
be bored.
That. Yes, to how to be bored.
So how do you think you be bored?
Just sit there and be bored. I watch TV and, you know, you can only watch so much TV and
then you eat what?
Oh, there's cheese and crackers sitting out there with my name on it.
Yeah, but I want you to think about, what are you thinking about? Like, let's say we couldn't have cheese and crackers. Mm-hmm. What without the cheese and crackers, what would you be thinking?
What can I do? Is there something I can do? I'm sure there's something I could clean. I could read a book.
But do you want to do any of that?
I would like to read a book. I don't want to clean.
Then why don't you read a book?
I don't know why I didn't. I should have, because I'm in the middle of a very good Dean Koontz book that I could have read and...
But so why would you want cheese and crackers?
Well, because I think
it wasn't probably because you were bored.
Because I like them.
Yeah, that's not boredom.
No.
Like, you're sitting at home, you're watching TV, you're tired of watching TV, I guess. Did you continue to watch TV, or did you just eat cheese and crackers lonely in the kitchen by yourself?
No, I took the cheese and crackers in the living room and watched TV while I ate them.
So you weren't tired of watching TV?
No, apparently not.
But this is why we're talking about it, is to get your brain really clear on what actually happened. You wanted cheese and crackers.
I wanted cheese and crackers.
And you think you were bored. You weren't bored.
I just wanted cheese and crackers.
Yeah. Like, all of us want this to be so much more complicated than it is. It's like, you had an urge for cheese and crackers. It's like, ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah. And I need to say no, because that's not on my plan. And normally every day I can do that. Every day I can get, nope, not on my plan. Nope, not on my plan.
Why was that day so different?
I don't know if it's because I wasn't feeling well, so I maybe thought that it would make me comforted.
Well, did it?
Not really, because I felt guilty for one thing.
Yeah.
And then I just felt so full.
Yeah.
I'm constipated, like, and I'm just shoving more stuff in.
Of course.
So
let me ask you this. Like, if you had to just take a wild guess, you talked yourself into eating cheese and crackers because why?
Because I like cheese and crackers.
I know it's because of that, but I just want you to kind of think about where your brain's connecting this to. What I'm looking for is the illogical connection that you've applied to snacking on this day that's very different than other days. Is it because you were sick and you just wanted to eat something because you're just tired of feeling bad? Or
I think that's part of it. I think it was, I don't know if because I was alone and no one would know except I would know. And so that's not logical at all.
No.
Though I told my accountability.
When we overeat, it's never logical.
Right.
You told your accountability partner what?
That I had the overeats.
Well, that's good.
So they know it, but I think I need to find something that when I am in that position again, that I can tell myself, no, you're just bored. Go read a book.
You can tell yourself that, but you have to make sure that you are actually bored. Like, yeah. Whatever you're going to tell yourself in that moment has to make sense. Because if you weren't bored, then telling yourself, go read a book, it's going to feel like work.
Okay.
If you were wanting relief from a mental pity party that you'd been sick for days, and you just wanted to feel like you just wanted to relax, then you have to tell yourself something that matches that.
Okay.
Because the pleasure, like, this is the thing. Cheese and crackers are going to give you good, immense pleasure. You're requiring yourself now to sit with discomfort and create mental pleasure that's a blip on the radar of pleasure compared to cheese and crackers. So whatever you tell yourself in that moment's got to resonate. That's why, like, I tell people, like, if you're going to at 4 o'clock and you overeat every day, don't plan to clean the toilet on the next day, because there's no, like, if you're really seeking relief or you're seeking peace or rest or avoidance of what you need to, like, procrastinating what you need to do, trading down for a toilet or mowing your grass is never going to work.
Right.
So, like, so that's why I'm asking, like, if you legit think you were bored, then the book thing would work.
Right.
Like, no, we're just bored. We're either going to just sit here and continue to watch TV, and we're going to be bored so that we don't feel guilty later. Or you say, like, look, if you're really bored, go read that juicy book. There's other things to do. We don't have to entertain ourselves with food. Like, you can have all those conversations. But ultimately, it's identifying the illogical reason behind the connection to the food. That's the whole thing. It's like I was talking to Christy about, we're literally only eating because you had an urge for cheese and crackers and you said yes. That's all that happened. But in your brain, you've tied it to something else. And we need to break those ties so that you guys can get really good at saying no to an urge and knowing how to talk back to it and understanding like, okay, this is the stuff that I think that allows me to get excited about eating. And now I'm going to have to like let that tamp down, that excitement about eating. And then I'm going to have to create a pleasure that's going to be sustainable with no negative consequence on the back end. And you have to have that conversation with yourself.
Yeah, I guess I need to do more journaling on that. Because I know it's part wanting to feel comfort, wanting to feel better. And I know it's part boredom. And maybe part loneliness.
Mm-hmm. I would like to take each one of those feelings and see if you can figure out if there's a different thought attached to each one.
Okay.
Because here's how I think the model works. I think you have like sitting at home with diverticulitis, watching TV as your circumstance. Mm-hmm. And you have a model that's like, I'm tired of feeling bad. That I don't know. Do you ever think that? Or is there anything that you think of, like about it?
Yeah, I think there was, God, when is this going to be done? I'm tired of being sick.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of being sick feels what?
It feels kind of like failure because I'm not doing the stuff that I had been doing to be successful in my weight loss. So I guess maybe failure. Or guilt.
That's another model. So you have the same circumstance, and now you've got a thought that says, this is keeping me from doing the stuff that I'm going to be successful in weight loss.
Yeah.
And that feels what?
That feels failure.
That feels like failure. And then your action isn't to go eat. Your action is escape failure. Your action becomes come up with ideas on how to avoid this emotion. Think about cheese and crackers.
Okay.
Ruminate and stew about the weight, like all the worst case. Like most people, if they're feeling that, then they are imagining. You might not be just like, you know, white knuckling imagining worst case scenario, but you're probably thinking that it just spirals out other thoughts like, well, what if we end up gaining our weight back? What if, like, you start asking pointless questions?
I know I was thinking, well, I don't go to the gym for this many days. Now I'm you know, backtracking where I can't go on the treadmill as long or as fast. Or
that's that action line that comes from that one. That failure one, it comes down to that action line becomes worst case scenarios. Let's figure them all out. Like, let's go to ultimate doom and gloom. Yeah. Like literally 4 days of not being on the treadmill, you could go a week and you would go back. Day one would be a little rough. By day two, your body would be like, oh yeah, we're doing that shit again. But your brain is like, oh my God, we won't even be able to know how to turn it on.
Yeah.
And the result of that one is you fail yourself.
Yeah.
So then what happens is you start the next model. And when you start thinking I'm failing myself, that generates an urge. Or it comes up to like cheese and crackers.
Right.
Like you'll just be sitting on the couch watching TV and all of a sudden it's like, cheese and crackers sound good. Of course they're going to sound good, because if all you got left is to sit there and think about how you're never going to be able to work the treadmill ever again, cheese and crackers sounds like a really good deal.
Yeah.
And then the urge, and then we eat.
Yeah,
and you do what sounds good versus what's good for you.
Right. And I think maybe when I get to that point, instead of thinking, well, I'm failing because I can't do what I did for the last couple of days, to look back at all my success and see that I can do this every day and I do follow my plan every day, and I have written my plan and assessed my plan every day. So while I've been sick, so I'm not like throwing everything out the window.
One of the questions that I love a lot is, so you have like this painted scenario story of what could be true. It could be true, like in your brain, it could be true that this is all going away and I'm like a failing and everything. A really good question though to change your model is, what else could be true?
Okay.
What else could be true about this? Was that, what was that?
That was my phone. It's my, my don't forget to drink your water.
It sounded like the Jetsons or something.
It is the Jetsons ringtone, but that's my notification to drink my water.
Oh, that was awesome. But you have like the question of what else could be true. And that triggers you to think about, okay, if I wasn't going to be doomsday scenarioing, what else could be true is, if I could learn to walk on the treadmill once, I probably have a much less learning curve than I did a week ago. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
allowing yourself to drop into what else could be true.
Okay.
And yeah, doing all of that stuff.
I think that would be very helpful to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
What else is true? Yeah.
Noticing when you are spiraling is everything. It is so important for you to like be aware, like, all right, when I overeat and I respond to urges, here are behaviors and thoughts and feelings that typically precede it.
Okay.
And they all have their own models. And when those models are in effect, they trigger the tripwire for, let's eat. That sounds good. I can't take this. I need to create that. Like, whatever it is.
Right.
Most of us, what we want to do is we want to figure out the thought triggering that one urge. Like, I wouldn't even do that. What I would do is I would back the truck up to another model. It's like with Christy. Christy knows her models are when she's in judgment of herself and feeling guilty and doing all these things. And like when she's spiraling that all night long at work, then that urge model is going to come in strong at a grocery store.
Yeah,
it's going to be like, yeah, of course we're going to want chocolate.
Which is one of the reasons why I don't have chocolate in my house. Because
yeah, Chris, you shouldn't be buying it either.
Because instead of cheese and crackers, it would be chocolate. So, you, and I don't want to give up cheese and crackers because, I mean, I use that as my snack. And sometimes I do use it as a lunch. But
here's the thing. This is what I want you to tell you. Or tell yourself. Cheese and crackers are not my problem. They're never the problem. Right. The only problem I have is sometimes I have urges to eat off my plan and I'm working on it. That's it. And just, you're doing great. So don't like create problems. Like, allow the things that are happening to be the lessons you need to lose the next 36 pounds. Isn't it 36 pounds? Is that what you said?
36 pounds.
Yes. Yeah. So like the next 36 are all going to come on the back of moments when you have cheese and crackers and you're investigating and learning from it.
Yeah.
They're not meaning that there's a problem and that you're going backward. I'm going to tell all of you, you're over, especially Queen's Club, every single one of your overeats is trying to tell you a story about what's to come. The good stuff. Y'all think it's like what's to come and it's all like, pfft. No, it's always like, I swear to God, every single one of them is a lesson on who you are becoming. Choose who that person is.
Yeah.
Use them for the good.
And I do every night. Well, I haven't been the last couple nights when I've been sick, but every night in my journal, it's actually, it's letters from my future self to me today, telling me what I did good today, what encouragement for if I didn't do it perfect. And I do that every day. So it's letters for my future self every day.
I love that. Let me ask you a question. Why are you not doing all this while you're sick? Do you have a good reason?
I don't have a good reason. It's just like, I don't feel like it and I just want to go to bed and go to sleep. That's my only reason.
Okay. That's fine. As long as you're not going to sit there and eat cheese and crackers off plan.
Right.
It's like, if you're bored, if it's truly being a bored as fuck problem,
mm-hmm,
journal out. That'll solve that problem.
Yeah.
That's why I'm very curious if it's actually an I'm bored problem or if it's I don't like what I'm thinking problem.
It's probably more that I don't like what I'm thinking.
Yeah. A lot of times we want to say we're bored. And it's like, no, we don't want to hear what we're thinking. And it's like, no, invite that in and fix that shit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Real quick.
Uh-huh.
Did you paint that thing above you?
Oh, no, no, no.
It's so...
I know. It's like gorgeous.
Yes. I was like...
And I've got a fairy hanging in front of it. So it's... like a fairy flying in a tree.
I just love it. I'm just like, man, if she painted that, I'm fixing to ask her to paint me
one. Oh, no. I'm not that talented by any stretch of the imagination, no.
Right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go with Tina. I'm just going in order, y'all. Oh, my gosh. It's you. I never know which Tina's coming on.
It's me.
All right.
I haven't seen you in a while. Hello.
I know. That's a microwave. I was like, is that an old school TV down there?
I'm in my hotel room.
Ah, okay.
And I'm hot off the heels of a panic attack. So I'm sitting on my yoga mat because I was meditating. And then I got my little alert that Queen's Club was coming on. So I'm like, well,
good.
I panic. Hello, Corinne.
Hello. You don't seem too panicky.
I'm really good at managing it.
Well, good.
Yeah.
What are we going to coach on?
So I am starting a small business and I want to talk to you about unreachable goals. Because I'm fixing this.
Unreachable goals?
Well, I forget what you called it, but it was like
impossible goals?
That's it.
Okay. Yeah.
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 So, I'm just looking to chat with you about that.
What is your impossible goal?
To quit my job and work for myself.
Is that impossible right now?
Right this very second, yes.
Okay. So what is what do you want coaching on? Like the mindset you're going to need, or what are you looking for?
Yeah, I've been listening to a little bit of Brooke's podcast, especially around business stuff and just sort of investigating other coaches around specifically business.
Yes.
Everything else is, I'm a pretty well-oiled machine as far as everything else. I'm dropping weight, I'm showing up, I'm doing what I want to do, I'm journaling, I'm modeling. That's going well. I'm starting this other stuff. And I think that it's just something I don't know anything about, and I don't know what I don't know, so I'm trying to gather a lot of information. I feel like a year ago, we had our first coaching call. I know, it was just a year ago. but our first coaching call, I was like, well, I'm like thinking, and I'm doing, I'm not like doing, but I'm thinking, and I'm planning, and you're like, well, just go do some shit. So we started to do some shit, and now I feel a little bit stuck.
That's what I was wanting to figure out. Where's the problem with all this? Because I set impossible goals all the damn time, but I don't need a coach.
Right.
And I'm wondering where you're wanting the coach. It's because you're feeling stuck. Why do you feel stuck?
Because if I don't succeed, the stakes seem higher than if I'm just like not showing up for myself or making a plan or overeating. Like that doesn't.
Well, why are the stakes higher?
Well, if I quit my job and then I'm not successful and I'm destitute and.
Are you going to go destitute?
Probably not. No, I'm very marketable, so I'm sure I would find another job pretty quickly.
Yeah. So the worst case scenario is you do it, it doesn't work out, and you get a job just like you have now.
Yeah.
So worst case scenario is you stay in the same position.
Yeah. 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 And I think I'm just sort of stuck in the devil I know is better than the devil I don't. And I don't. I'm fine where I'm at, but I.
So why do you want to do this then?
There's just I'm so much bigger than I'm allowed to be in my role. I have so much more potential to fulfill, and I have so much quality experience and content and work to share. And I want to be able to do that. And I want to do it on my own terms. I don't like being told what to do.
So have you made out your list? So with impossible goals, what you do is you basically you set the goal. Like, I'm going to leave my job and start my own business on certain date.
Okay.
So set that goal first. Like have it in your brain. Like, one of the nice things that you give your brain is a deadline.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't have to be in 3 months or whatever. Give yourself a very reasonable deadline.
Yeah.
That's not going to scare you off from the work. Now, it's going to generate the work itself to get there. It's going to generate all the self-doubt and fear you're ever going to need.
Sure.
So to me, your impossible goal is already, like, I am going to start my own business, but I would put a deadline to it so that your brain can get aligned with getting to work. Otherwise, it just becomes like something just hanging around out there. You know what I mean?
I'm well in progress on that. I think by a year from now, I want to be working for myself.
Okay. So I would just set a goal. It says, you know, June, whatever today is. What is today? June the 5th of 2020. I quit.
Okay.
Like, seriously, this is what we did with Chris.
Yeah.
It was just like May 31st on my thing was Chris turns in his resignation. He actually turned it in 2 weeks early and he actually stopped on May 31st.
Wow.
This is not, like, let me just tell you, when we set that goal a year ago, it was going to be beans and rice up in this house. No joke.
Right.
Corinne was going to, like, waste away because she wouldn't be eating. She'd be eating paper. So you set the date. Then you got to, like, list everything you're going to need to do. Every single thing you're going to need to do. Like, all the actions and stuff.
Can you give me an example?
Well, what are you going to need to do to start this business? Like, webpage?
Webpage. I have some content partially created. I need it edited. I'm working with a designer, so I need to finish my graphic designing. I need to work on marketing.
I would list all of that stuff. I would first just do a brain dump. I'd give myself 20 minutes to make a list of every single possible thing I could think of that I needed to do.
Okay.
And then I would go back to that list and I would combine them into categories. Like, these are marketing things. These are, you know, financial things. These are whatever. I would go through that and I would see if there's anything that I missed. Like, really what you want is you want a list that's going to make you vomit.
Okay.
Like, it should just look like, oh my God, this is so much work. I'm overwhelmed. If you've done that, you've done it right.
Okay.
But yeah. I know that sounds crazy, but
I just finished with an anxiety attack.
It'll allow you to practice all the anxiety that you need and more. Then when you do that, you're going to go through and you're going to list every single thing that's going to get into your way. Like, my anxiety attacks.
Okay.
My desire to not want to quit my job, losing my security. You want to list all of the stuff that's, and some of it will be just like true ass obstacles. It might be, you know, one of the things that'll get in my way is I don't know how to run a Facebook ad. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I have to learn that, like, those kinds of things. But the majority of it is going to be your own thoughts. That's going to be a model for every one of them.
Okay.
That is how you get over a lot of your shit.
That's a lot of fucking models.
Oh, it is. Like, when you're doing impossible goals, it's like 30 to 40 models on your own drama. Because the only thing that's going to stand between you and impossible goal is your drama. It will never be the action line.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, me not believing in myself enough.
Right.
Me thinking I'm going to fail. Me worrying about failure is an obstacle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, worrying about failure before I even start is an obstacle I'm going to have to overcome.
So the purpose of that, then, I assume, is to release the drama, and then you have the mental real estate and emotional real estate to actually do the things.
Some of it is to release the drama, but the majority of it is just to be aware of your shit.
Okay.
So that you can redirect when that drama keeps coming back, keeps coming back, keeps coming back. Guys, you can do this for weight loss. Seriously, this is the same ass shit.
Then what, that's what I'm doing for weight loss. Like every time I get off the path, like, all right, nope, path is this way. Like that way.
Well, and then everything that's on your action line, like all your actions, then you start scheduling them. Okay. Like, and here's how I would do it. When you have like a year long process, this is what I do. I think about what can I like get done in the next 45 days? That goes on the schedule. So everything else, do what?
6 week chunks?
Basically.
Okay.
Like I just parcel the list out of like, this is the things that I know can get me closer to it in the next 45 days. Here's all the stuff that's not. That's later stuff. So it gets just put into the binder, put into the file, the folder, wherever, you know, like on your computer, wherever you're going to keep it. That all stays over there because your brain needs to be highly trained and highly focused on what's going to get done in the next 45 days. And then from that list, you just start scheduling out. This 2 weeks, I focus on this. And this 2 weeks, I'm focusing on this. And then this 2 weeks, I'm focusing on this. Like I just start chunking it down.
Every 6 weeks, you do the next 6 weeks?
Yep, just do the next 6 weeks. I like that 45-day cycle because it's like a half a quarter, essentially.
Yeah.
It lets you get like through half a quarter, and then if you need to regroup a little, you still have the rest of your quarter to regroup. That's just sure. How I like to do it. But the other thing that you can do, too, that's really helpful is, so once you have your list of like, these are the things I'm only focusing on the next 45 days, mm-hmm. I'd pick three main things. That's it. Do not give yourself like 40. I'm going to be like, and it may just even be one. It's like, I'm only working on content for this 45 days.
Okay.
And within content, here's the three main things in content. And everything else has to wait because this is what we're working on right now.
Okay.
And then in that, you start breaking it down even further.
Yeah.
And you get it to where it's such simple things that when you put it on your calendar, it's really clear that it's done. Like it can get checked off. It produces a result. And it doesn't feel overwhelming. That's the real key.
Yeah.
You'll have a task. If it feels overwhelming, you haven't broken it down into tiny enough steps. It's just like when I have you guys plan 24 hours versus a week. And if 24 hours feels too much, let's plan breakfast this week. It's like, let's just get one thing under control. So you start breaking it down to where you feel that it's doable. And then you have to keep taking action. And so the final key to impossible goals is worthy fails versus like just fails.
Can you
explain it?
Say more about that.
Yeah. A worthy fail would be like, let's say you are, tell me something that you have to do for this business. Like, give me something that I can run with.
I am working on some articles to publish.
Okay. And somebody has to publish them, or is this you publish them?
I'm going to be, if I don't get them published, I'll turn them into like a blog post, or like a okay. blog post.
So if somebody else doesn't want them, they would turn into a blog post.
Yeah. So okay. it wouldn't be time lost if they didn't get picked up somewhere.
Okay. So here's a worthy fail. I write all the articles and I submit them to like 10 places, whatever you're going to do. Like you've decided for this quarter, I need to finish 10 articles and I want to submit it to 10 different outlets, each one to 10 different outlets. Mm-hmm. A worthy fail would be no one picks them up.
Okay.
That means Tina did the work.
Yeah.
What I forget what she calls it. There's the difference between a worthy fail. Betsy, if you're on here, you might know the name. There's like basically it's like your own damn fault fail. It's where you're buffering. So like if you're like, I don't know if I'm good enough. I'm all worried people won't want it. And every single day you're like, you know, dicking around and not writing articles. And at the end of the quarter, it's like, well, you know, I got my fail because I didn't write my articles. No, that's because you didn't show up for the work. Like you didn't show escape fails. It's called an escape fail. Thank you, Betsy. That was driving me crazy. An escape fail is where you didn't believe in you, so you didn't do your work. A worthy fail is you totally believed in you and you put your work out there for rejection.
Okay.
That is a worthy fail. Now, you won't always get worthy fails. Sometimes like shit will work. That is what we hope for. But do you see the difference?
It's moving the needle at some point, if nothing else, then I'm learning from the process.
Yeah.
Instead of just, oh, I'll have these half done things because I'm afraid to finish.
Because I'm afraid of opinions. I'm afraid of failing. I'm afraid of these things. That's how you set your whole year up. So every single, like basically you're going to do each quarter. So you're gonna have your 45 days and your 45 days at the end of each quarter, you're going to evaluate yourself. How many worthy fails did I collect?
Okay.
You want to either have a lot of worthy fails and you learn something that's going to carry you through to the next quarter. Mm-hmm. That's like going to teach you about your business and about establishing it. What you don't want is a ton of escape fails where you're having to like keep pushing it off and keep pushing off and keep regrouping and stuff like that. But you want to be honest with yourself.
That, I mean, I think if nothing else came from this call, I think that talking about that was helpful even in weight loss, because like I keep getting back on the trail, right? I keep dusting myself off when I throw shit in my own way, or I decide to like take a detour. But they're not, I don't have a lot of worthy fails. I have a lot of bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Worthy fails would be like going to dinner and planning to not eat when everybody else does. Mm. And like you go and you experience it. And you come home and you beat the shit out of yourself for everything you thought. That's like a worthy fail.
Yeah.
Didn't eat.
Right.
Or just like setting yourself up. Like for some people, like even going, like putting yourself into a position, like let's say it's a party and you're going to, do you drink?
Okay. I mean, not much.
Is it, what is it? Is food your thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So like, when is it that you would typically overeat?
Usually I'm a night eater, boredom. Like the last couple calls between, Christy and I forget the last woman's name, but yeah, like the cheese and crackers thing. I was like, oh yeah, that shit.
Yeah. So like a worthy fail for you would be to plan to not eat tonight and to sit there and to watch yourself white knuckle and to like go through the process of that.
Yeah.
And allow it to be really hard. And I would rather you white knuckle and then process it and learn from it than to escape fail, which is just eat because you think you can't handle it.
That's really funny that we're having this conversation, because I think part of my panic was that I basically did make that plan, and there's just other stuff. And I was just feeling a lot of really intense feelings like very suddenly. And then when I got the alert, I was like, oh, the Queen's Club call is on. And then I was like, well, shit, is that just buffering? Like, am I defeating the purpose by buffering with Queen's Club? But like, I think being on this call was a worthy fail. Like I distracted myself from being in my anxiety, but I also, I'm not eating.
You also just did a thought switch. You could look at it that way.
Right. Right. Well, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it could just be like, oh, it's Queen's Club.
Right.
That sounds interesting.
I knew I would learn something.
Yeah. What if you just, every single time you were having one of these panic attacks and stuff, if you just said, you know what, I'm going to listen to them podcasts. That sounds interesting. Way more interesting than me sitting here having a panic attack.
Well, yes. I mean, I'm very good at working. I mean, they aren't very frequent and the duration is limited. And I have a lot of good coping mechanisms. Today was just the day that it, you know, broke through. But I think that's just, I'm also not afraid of any of my feelings. I don't have a negative relationship with any of my emotions, good or bad.
That's good. That's good. Because the last thing, like one of the things I was just teaching in this other class I was teaching is putting like panic and anxiety in your feelings, especially like guilt, whatever it is, put it in the C line and just see what you think about it. Like I always love for people to like come up with 10 thoughts they have about guilt, 10 thoughts you have about urges, 10 thoughts you have about panic attacks, whatever it may be, and just see what your brain construes as the story.
Yeah.
And each one that's not serving you is a model. Because it's just a neat way to kind of see where you're judging your own emotions. And most of us get into trouble, which is, I'm glad you're not doing, is we get into trouble when we judge our emotions. When you're willing to be like, well, emotions tell me things. Emotions are tolerable. They don't always feel good, but I get through them. Like, if that's your thoughts about them, you're probably doing the wide range of emotions quite well in life. Yeah. But if they're like, you know, I hate being bored. I can't stand it when I don't have something to do. Like, if that's what you're having about boredom, or you're having about being alone or whatever, you know where your work is.
Well, and I think too, even divorcing ourselves from the fact that I hate being bored somehow feels like it's part of my identity. Like, sometimes I feel bored, but that's not who I am. Like, or I'm not a boring person because I am bored in this moment. Like, I'm not, my identity is not the emotion I'm having in this moment.
Yes, exactly. It's just an emotion generated by something you're thinking. That's all that's really happening at any time.
Which is always a bunch of chemicals firing.
It's always that boring. All right, lady. Well, good luck.
Thank you. I'm coming to fall camp, so I will hopefully have a really exciting status report.
Yes. You know,
we're going to dance.
Yes. Well, we have an amazing, well, you were at January, weren't you?
I was in April.
Oh, you were in April? Oh, yeah. Well, our DJ's back. So he's the same. We keep using the same DJ.
I have a crush on him.
You know he stutters, though.
Dude, don't care. If he can do other things with his mouth, I don't care.
I'm sure he can, because he is like, you should be standing up there with him. His eyes are mesmerizing. His eyes are like yours, like really blue and mesmerizing and stuff. But, oh, my gosh, he has such a stutter. Like, I'm, like, usually the only one that talks to him. Because,
oh, really?
It's like... like a minute long.
That makes me like him even more.
I know. He's so sweet. We request him every single time. I'm just like, we're those crazy old cougars that just love Chase. But yeah, he's so funny though, because we, like the coaches and I talk about it all the time. Like, he has that stuttering thing, but man, when he's on the mic as a DJ, no problems. He can say anything he needs to say. But if he's having a conversation with you, it's just really difficult. So, but I love him. I just think he's great. And he lets me boss the playlist. So that's even better. I'm always up there like, no, we're going to play this. So, well, I'll see you in October.
I look forward to it.
All righty. Bye. I'm going to take one more and then we are going to be wrapping it up tonight. Let's see. Sherry, you're up. You had your hand raised. Hang on. It's like the gang's all back. All night long, I've just been coaching all the ones, like you, Christy, Tina. I'm like, damn. All right.
Well, we're going to talk about work some more. So,
Jesus, I'm ready to talk about work.
I did start my own business, and it's going really, really well.
I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
I love women business owners. There's nothing better than us just taking over the world.
Yes. And I lucked out into a company where I'm a consultant and I work for myself, but they schedule and market and do all the things that I consider really hard about working for myself. So
awesome.
That is great. But I am buffering all over the place with my food. I feel overwhelmed in work. Partly because it's more seasonal. So summer is a really busy time for us.
Okay.
And I feel like I need to capture all the work I can right now.
Yeah.
And I have no button. I don't say no very often. And so when they're like, can you pick this up or pick that up or pick up the other thing? I'm like, sure, I'll pick it all up. But then I get overwhelmed and I'm not very good at scheduling my smaller stuff and my bigger stuff. A lot of our stuff is very short-term deadlines. And so I find that overtakes my bigger stuff that I need to be working on.
Yeah.
And And then I buffer with food when I get stressed, which is not good.
So we have to stop doing that.
Yes.
Here's the thing. If you're that busy, you don't have time to be buffering.
No, I know.
You have more reason to be eating on schedule.
Okay.
Because it's going to help you keep your mind in check. This is the thing. If you want to be in check in business, you got to be in check with your food. It's going to mirror each other. You're going to end up, if you're doing that over there, you're going to be a slob in your business too.
Well, and I feel like I'm not on task all the time and I'm, and that.
Yeah, because you're eating and avoiding breaking down the real problem, which is how do I schedule my ass better?
Yes. Yes. So I've tried scheduling a couple ways. I go in a block schedule. I do this and the other thing. And I have a lot of time that comes up that doesn't fit in the box, which I know is ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous?
Because then I should schedule in a block of miscellaneous shit.
Are you scheduling any white space in?
No.
Like ass to butt. Like, what are you doing there?
So I get up in the morning and I look at all the jobs I have to do and I estimate how long I think they'll take and I underestimate most of them. I'm a time optimist. I think everything should get done in an hour or so, and that's untrue. And so by 10 or 11, I've blown the whole day's schedule and then I go into fuck it mode and then I don't follow it after that.
Okay. So you're doing the same thing with your food. So we know that they're both mirroring each other. Let me ask you this. If you weren't sitting there thinking you've blown it and that you're a time optimizer and all this other stuff, what would you be doing with your calendar?
Sorry, I had to change headphones. I'd pick something and do it.
Yeah, but I want you to really think about this. If you keep running out of time to do things.
Oh, hold on. I can't hear you. Okay, go ahead.
If you keep running out of time to do things.
I can't hear you. What happened?
I don't
know. Hold on. It's me. I know it's me. Hold on.
Okay. So if you keep running out of time to do things, that's clearly pointing towards, I need to rethink how I schedule.
Mm-hmm.
What would you be doing versus what you're doing right now? Oh, I must be shitty at time.
Schedule more time until I get a better hold of it.
What if it was a learning process, just like the 24-hour plan? Eventually you figure out what's realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know I teach such voodoo here in the tribe, but I'm just going to tell you, like, you already have all the education you need in order to be someone who can figure out your time.
Okay. All right.
But the problem is you don't believe it. You have to understand what the real problem is. Your problem isn't that you're not a good time scheduler. I think you think that's a circumstance.
Yeah.
Is it a circumstance?
No, it's a learned skill, like anything else, and can be learned, and I've learned much harder things in my life. This should not be a stumbling block.
Yeah. What do you think your circumstance actually is?
Just getting my ducks in a row and getting a feel for it. But I'm
your circumstance. I'm going to tell you, no circumstance is called getting ducks in a row.
My circumstance, what I think it is I have too much work to do today, but that's a thought. So
yeah, no shit.
So many jobs to get done today, 4 or 5 jobs or whatever the day may bring.
This is why you're having problems. You have forgotten what the circumstance line is. Whatever the day may bring is not a circumstance.
Okay.
Does the day just bring work to you?
No. I'd like to say yes, though, but I know that's not true.
I thought at some point I heard you say, I pick up jobs.
I do, yeah.
So the day's not bringing them to you.
I guess it's more of, so I get to schedule myself. I'm going to close this door real quick. Honey, will you take the curd? Go. I am free to schedule my schedule however I want. So close off days and take the time I need in the office to finish the things I need. But I feel that I need to be in the field at least 2 or 3 days a week. And that's not always doable depending on what I'm working on.
Okay. But this is the problem. You keep thinking all of this is happening to you.
I know it's not. It's not.
It's not. It's like, if you want to be out in the field 3 days a week, say like, I keep choosing to think I need to be out there. Like, just be honest about what's happening. Like, well, I feel like I need to be. It's like, yeah. Okay. But just own, like, if I want to be out in the field, it's because of my thinking, not because I need to be.
Okay.
The day never brings work to me. Whatever I'm doing that day, I've chosen it. Mm-hmm. Because what you're doing is you're getting very disempowered. And when you feel disempowered, guess what? You can't follow a schedule.
Yes, I am.
The schedule controls everything.
Yep. Okay. I'll set up.
No, you're going to your action line. We got to set up your thoughts and we got to set up your circumstance. What is your circumstance? Not letting you go. Tell him we're not eating yet.
Oh, no, that's fine.
He's like,
was he back there? That's funny.
He was knocking. He was like.
My circumstance is I have 3 jobs to finish today or however many there is in a day.
Yes. Like, it's Monday. Mm-hmm. These are 3 jobs.
Okay.
Your thought could be, I chose those.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah, rather than all this other drama, like the day's bringing these 3 jobs to me. It also could be something along the lines of, I'm learning to schedule appropriately.
I like that one.
Yeah, and then you feel what? Since you like that one, what do you feel?
Empowered over my own schedule and my own stuff.
So then your action becomes playing with time.
Like, okay.
I'll give myself more time than I think I need today.
Okay.
Get it done early. Yay me. And I'll track that. If it takes that amount of time, what I'm learning is that I'm figuring out my time rather than time is controlling me.
Okay. I like that. What was the circumstance I'm choosing or the thought?
It's Monday and I have this many jobs. The thought.
No, the thought. I am choosing to. I'll go back and listen.
My time.
Choosing to plan my time. Okay.
It's that powerful statement of like, what are you doing? Are you at the effect of it or are you in control of it? Right now, everything you're describing is I'm at the effect of things. It is no wonder you want to eat. So that for a little bit, you are in control. Well, I'm in control of overeating, but then you feel out of control with your food.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel good. I don't want to do that.
No. I'm going to tell you guys the best things that I can tell you about time is to really take ownership that your time is truly yours. You are always choosing. I don't care if your dog has to go to the emergency vet and has like shit a screwdriver. You chose to take him.
Okay.
If you, like, no matter what, thinking about time is always yours. So even if, like, let's say you do these 3 jobs and they take longer, it's not because you're poor at time management. It's because you invested time in those jobs. And it's time to learn that some jobs take more time than others. It's all about that realistic planning and being really honest about what's going on and tracking your trends. Then over time, you get better at estimating how long it takes you to do things. You also get better at knowing, like, it really should only take me an hour to get it done. But I'm sitting over here thinking about food because I'm overwhelmed with my life. So it's taking me long. Like, when I'm thinking that I'm overwhelmed, it's a lot harder for me to work fast.
It is. Yep. Okay. I like that.
I want you to be really clear about all your circumstances. That's going to help you a lot, Sherry. I think that's what I'm noticing right now is you've gotten like way far away from your circumstance line. It's like you think your circumstance is I need to be in the field 3 days a week. That's mm-hmm. a total thought. The field is the circumstance.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Feel better already.
Good. No more overeating. Just none. Okay. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. That's all we got time for. That's over an hour now. Y'all have, hey, Toby, I see your hand raised. Won't you, let me just call on Toby. Shit, I hate to do this. Let me see what she needed. If it's about work, I'm going to die. Is this about work? I can't hear you. Try taking your earbuds out and see what happens.
I did take them out.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay.
All right, what's going on?
So I kind of have a question about, it's like setting goals, and once you meet them, like, I know I always want to be pushing myself, but sometimes I just find myself never being, like, content. Like, I'm always striving for something, which is good, but sometimes it's like I meet a goal, and then it's just like that goal wasn't good enough, and I just have to keep moving on to, like, the next best thing, which sometimes it's, like, it's good, but I just don't like this feeling of just, like, this not, like, I'm just not happy in what I've achieved and the things that I've done.
This is an easy fix.
Okay.
The part that you're missing is, and this is what I do. I get coached on this all the time, is there's nothing wrong with being someone who's constantly wanting to like achieve things. We forget the gap where we need to achieve something and we need to let it land.
Okay.
And then we get to set the next goal. So you're missing the part where you achieve something and you need to like relish in it. So you need to write about, this is why I'm such a badass. This is like, you need to like literally write all things. Cause am I going to be off the mark here when I say that you tend to be a little hard on yourself?
You're right on point.
That is why like that is not a natural practice for you in the middle. What most achievers do who do it in the way that doesn't exhaust them, you're doing it in a way that's exhausting you.
Right.
Is they achieve something and then they celebrate it and they let it land. Like they, like, these are all the things I learned. This is what was amazing about me, you know, and you can do this privately. You can just like have your brag board. Like this is when the ego gets to come out and play and do all the things.
Okay.
It will translate, especially if you are someone who has a lot of success, it will translate into you being able to let it land in other areas too. So you do that. And then if you want to take it a step further, you actually tell someone and you put the risk out there of like, let me tell you what I did that was amazing.
Okay.
And you like literally tell it unapologetically. And it's not bragging when you're doing it, because this is the difference between bragging and like owning how great you are. When you just really own how great you're doing it to celebrate for you. When you're bragging, you're doing it to make someone else feel bad.
Okay.
If you're not trying to make someone feel bad, you're doing it right.
Okay.
If you're like being like a braggart and being all of those things, which is what most people worry about, means like, I want to tell you this because I just want you to know how small you are. I just want you to know that I'm so much better than you are. If that's not your intention, but you're doing it because it's like, no, like I want to talk about it. I want to share this experience. Find someone you trust and share the experience. The more you do it out loud and the more you do it in your writing, then you'll see that chasing another goal won't be because you're not good enough. And the other thing is, when you set another goal, be really honest with yourself about why you're setting it. Is it to prove something to yourself, or is it to say like, you know why I'm setting this goal? Because I already know I am good enough, because I do achieve things. That's why I'm setting it. It's not because I'm not good enough.
Right. And in the past, that's how it's always been, is like proving myself wrong or trying to prove other people wrong, where now it's more just like to improve myself. But yeah, it's trying to just not continuously be going and going and not appreciating like what I have accomplished, because I have done a lot. So,
yeah, I think this is really important for you, because like I've just known you for a long time and you're so much more confident than you've ever been. I mean, I can just tell by the way you're like even on this call. Like yeah. I remember Toby, who was like What kind of the first camp? Just, yeah, just like, boom, like, we're done. I don't think I can handle life, you know. So you've come a long way. But I think now your next evolution of yourself is like, now you know you're doing it because it's not because you don't believe you're a good person. It's like, you know you can do these things. Now it's like, let's take it to another level. Let's start telling ourselves when we accomplish it, this was all me. And I'm going to own every bit of my greatness, and I will not do it apologetically. I will not think that I am being too big for myself or anything. And you do that, and then you decide, all right, what's my next goal? And have your intention set, like, this next one, it's because I am really good at doing this. I'm already good enough. I don't need to prove anything to myself anymore. I just proved it in this last one.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that helps.
Yes. Well, that was a good quickie.
And no tears. It's like the first time.
It's always nice to be able to just like start stepping into your greatness.
It is. It's been really nice, and I appreciate everything you've helped me with. So
you're welcome.
Thank you.
All righty. It's good seeing your pretty little face too.
Thank you. You as well.
Bye.
Bye.
God, I just feel like I got to like hang out with all my P&P friends tonight. I have like coached these ladies, all of them, for a long time except for one. So it's amazing. All right, everyone. Queens Club, I will see you next month. Y'all have an amazing month. I think we're actually, I'm not sure when we're doing it next month. I think I'm going to be flying that one day, but we will. I think I moved you guys. I can't remember. I will. It might be, I think it is July 3rd. I think I'm flying on July 4th. So I will see y'all next month. Have an amazing one, and I'll see you around in the tribe. Bye, y'all.